This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kunnison. It is just gone past 7:36 in the morning, Tuesday the 10th of November. And in about half an hour, we have the breakfast grill as usual. So Roshan, who are you going to speak to after the 8 a.m. news bulletin?
I'll be speaking to Simon Flynn, Group CEO of Evolution Wellness. And if you're not familiar with that name, you'll be familiar with some of the brands that they own, Fitness First and Celebrity Fitness, amongst a few others, actually. But, you know, before the onset of the pandemic, fitness was a rapidly booming industry, Xiaoning. But physical distancing and other COVID-19 requirements have made maintaining gyms and fitness centers a much bigger challenge. And Evolution Wellness runs some of the most recognizable fitness brands. I mentioned them earlier. And across 6 countries with hundreds of outlets. So we're going to get a view on the ground and across the region about how they are doing and what that means for the fitness industry overall. So it'll be an interesting discussion for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of us are missing going back to the gyms, although they have already reopened. But what's the future for them? And how are they going to pivot in the new normal? And that's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, on the international stage, we cannot ignore the headlines. It's everywhere because we are going to have a new president in the United States. But nonetheless, President Trump, if we remember him, his 4 years in office have been turbulent and unconventional, to put it mildly. So he has withdrawn the United States from multiple multilateral agreements, including the Paris Climate Accord and the Iran nuclear deal. On other fronts, Trump also started trade wars, restricted immigration, and curtailed refugee resettlement. But his administration has also overseen the bridging of ties between Israel and several Arab states, as well as overtures of peace with North Korea, although this has been less successful for now. Now, the question, of course, is President-elect Joe Biden, when he takes over, how might U.S. foreign policy change? So to discuss this and also what the world expects of Biden and of a Biden administration, we speak to Dr. Malcolm Cook, visiting senior fellow at IC's Yusuf Ishak Institute. Good morning. I want to ask you right first out, how would you describe the reactions of the international community to the U.S. election outcome?
Good morning to everybody. I think the reaction so far, many leaders have already reached out to President-elect Biden to congratulate him, say they want to work closer. I think the overwhelming response is one of relief, particularly because so far the worst scenarios for the U.S. election didn't play out. There hasn't been violence in the streets. There hasn't been extreme right-wing groups trying to take over the White House or anything. So it looks like, despite President Trump's so far lack of acceptance of the results, the transition is about as smooth in these early days as one can expect.
And what is the legacy of President Trump on U.S. foreign policy? And do you think we'll see much change under a Biden administration?
I think we'll see a lot of change in tone and approach, particularly to Asia. So I would expect President Biden and certainly Vice President Harris to show up to the ASEAN meetings more frequently, to reach out to traditional security partners and allies like Japan, Thailand and the Philippines and Southeast Asia and Singapore more regularly. But on other areas like the United States, hesitance to sign on to regional trade agreements, withdrawing from the TPP, I don't think that will change under a Democrat-led administration. And the other question is, will Trump's tougher line on China across a whole range of areas from technology to maritime security, how much will that change? My bet is less than many people may expect.
And which international allies stand to lose out as Trump actually leaves office in January then?
I think there's probably two sets of countries that are, you know, might miss the Trump administration the most, the ones that want a very firm line from the United States on China across a range of areas, and also other countries that have domestic human rights concerns that the Trump administration has largely ignored, but a Biden Democrat administration would largely focus on. So in Southeast Asia, certainly Vietnam may wish that the Trump administration had been reelected for those two reasons, and the Duterte administration in the Philippines as well. And even Thailand, depending where Thailand's current political turmoil goes, may also not want, as I say, a focus on human rights. Myanmar, I would add to that list. So in Southeast Asia, there are numerous countries that somewhat got an easy ride from the Trump administration on human rights and supported, even if quietly, the stronger, firmer stance on China.
And since you brought up China, I mean, we can't talk about US in this region without China, of course, and their tussle for influence here. So how much would a Biden administration alter the balance of power in this region?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the balance of power at the base is a structural issue about how large your economy is and how much you're trading with other countries and how large your military is. So that sense, it doesn't matter as much who the president of the time is. Of course, in China, Xi Jinping is president for life, so that's a bit different in China. But I think how the U.S. will prosecute its rivalry with China will change, as I say. Without a doubt, as you noted before, I think the Biden administration will try to rejoin multilateral organizations and again use them as a basis for American influence rather than withdrawing from them. And we'll try to take a softer approach rhetorically, so less focus on anti-China rhetoric and anti-communist rhetoric, as we saw when Secretary of Pompeo visited just last week. So quite a different feel, I think.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Malcolm Cook, visiting senior fellow at IC's Yusuf Ishak Institute, giving us his views on how US might change its foreign policy. And I think, yeah, for sure, it's not going to be the same. Although, like he mentioned, some countries might actually be quite sad to see Trump depart. So the likes of Vietnam, Philippines and Thailand, maybe. But Roshan, what were your key takeaways?
I like that he pointed out the different countries in the region that would be sad to see Trump leave the White House, right? So I think that a few you mentioned there, Philippines, but also Vietnam, right, Shani? Because Vietnam has been a beneficiary of this manufacturing output. As people get a bit more concerned about how the stability of U.S.-China relations, so I'm wondering with this if the U.S. is less hawkish on China, whether Vietnam isn't as doesn't benefit as much as from there. But also other countries to note, Myanmar and Thailand as well, for more on the human rights point of view.
Yeah, but he did mention Malaysia. We do know that our Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, sent out a congratulatory message quite soon after that. So yeah, whether we will change, because as it is now, everyone knows, we are still very close to China. They are big investors in our country, especially when it comes to infrastructure projects. Will that dynamic change? But as usual, if these tough times, everybody looks for checkbook diplomacy as their way out. But up next, we'll be speaking to Tan Sri Noor Mohammad Yaacob, Chairman of Khazanah Research Institute, about social protection measures in Budget 2021. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.